This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. It's me, Simon Cardy, with Matthew Pursley.
Hello.
And Matthew Jones.
You don't sound very well rested, Simon.
Don't I?
No.
I was watching their Game Awards. I've had a good 5.5 hours sleep. That's, you know, I don't usually get much more than that, so I'm all right. I'm feeling good. And do you know what? I'm invigorated by just the sheer amount of reveals we got. Kind of. There was a few good ones. There was a lot of reveals, some of them I liked, but it's been, in general, I think we can create a great week for reveals, because there's a certain other thing that was revealed this week, which I think we'll talk about first, which is pretty huge. And I think we all know it is, in fact, Danny Dyer is making a spiritual sequel to The Football Factory. Of course, we on this podcast, huge fans of Green Street, the film that Danny,
huge
Elijah
fans.
Wood was in.
I haven't had a chance to bring this up on the show since, but my partner had never watched Green Street. And since joining this, I asked her if she wanted to watch it. I just said, like, oh, you want to watch an Elijah Wood movie? And she was like, hell yeah, I'm in. She loved it. If any of you are apprehensive to watch Green Street with your partners, just do it.
Like, just do it. But what people may know about The Football Factory, it's basically a very similar film, but it has Danny Dyer in it instead of Elijah Wood, which means it does have a different vibe, to be fair. But yeah, they're making a spiritual sequel, essentially, to that called Marching Powder. And let me just read you the synopsis of this, which is, it follows the story of Jack, who is Danny Dyer, a middle-aged, drug-taking football hooligan who is arrested and given 6 weeks to turn his life around or face a long spell in prison. Juggling his marriage, his hard-nut bully of a father-in-law, and his wayward 25-year-old stepbrother, Kenny Boy,
Jack tries to get
his life back on track.
I don't have, like, much knowledge of the British legal system, but is that a thing? Do they go like, oh, go on, come back in a month and a half?
See if you can turn it around. I love that there's someone called Kenny Boy. I might audition for the role of Kenny Boy. I reckon I've got a bit of Kenny Boy energy to me. Of course, Danny Dyer played a character called Kent Paul in GTA Vice City, didn't he? Which is kind of a bit like Kenny Boy, if you think about it. Of course, the real big thing we had this week is the first look at GTA 6. Looks good, doesn't it?
Just a bit.
Yeah.
Has anybody else just been listening to that Tom Petty song over and over?
I've been listening to a lot of Tom Petty. That's been getting me back into the rhythm of a bit of The Heartbreakers. But I mean, we've got to talk about this, but me and Matt especially, we spent practically all of Wednesday watching this trailer. I think I watched this trailer for almost 8 hours solid, trying to find every single detail in it. If you haven't checked it out, we've got a video on IGN, which is 99 details to find this trailer, which is only, 91 seconds long? So
yeah, which about 10 seconds of that is the logo.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in there. Probably quite a few bits of that will prove completely pointless when the game actually comes out. But, you know, there's a lot of cool detail. I think mainly it's just how it's not really a detail, but just how ridiculously good and true to life to Miami this game looks. It's just unbelievable.
I mean, down to the point where, and obviously the GTA 5 map does this as well, and GTA 4's map to a certain extent, but we were picking out buildings that we were then going on to Google Maps to actually find out the address of said building. There's an astonishing amount of detail in it, and obviously that's partially fueled by the engine that this is running on, obviously an updated version of whatever, you know, kind of like Rockstar build on, is astonishing. Like, there are effects on particularly hair in this, I noticed, that really captures the way that kind of light filters through hair and creates that kind of sense of volume and bounce. Like, absolutely astonishing work.
Well, no, what I think they should do is they should put a AI real life filter over it and completely smudge it out.
The like any, not I wouldn't say any other studio, but a lot of other studios, if they release this trailer, I think a lot of people would go, oh, it's not going to look like that. But with Rockstar, you just trust that it will probably look quite similar to that. Because like, if you look at the GTA 5 first trailer, look at the Red Dead 2 first trailer, they pretty much look like that game turned out. Like, this guy, like, how is, like, I'm worried for my PS5. Like, I'm worried that it might start whirring like a jet engine like the PS4 did for its last, like, 3 years of its life. But, yeah, it's just...
I guess the somewhat inevitable mid-generation upgrade, isn't there, that this will... Wouldn't surprise me if there's some sort of launch in the same sort of window for it.
I mean, we can theorize what this, you know, the themes, this game, the story, and what it may take. But first, we've got an email about that, which I thought we'd use as a jumping off point, from Tom Lovegrove, who says, "Hi all, hope you're doing well and are prepped for Christmas. Apologies for the lengthy email." Never apologize. It's not that lengthy anyway.
It's what you do with it. That's what's important.
Exactly, and I'm going to read it. Firstly, belated congrats to Dale on the birth of his son. Top work. Yeah, well done, Dale. Nice job. Secondly, I'd love to hear your thoughts about what you'd like to see from GTA 6 after the trailer dropped. I know you did a build your own GTA game a while back, but I'd love to hear what you'd like to all see from a purely character and narrative perspective. We all know Rockstar do parody of American culture really well, but I feel like because so many clips of the trailer were based on real events in Florida, they're basically saying to us, look, how can we possibly still parody such an already ridiculous place? I would personally like to see the main story take a more gritty struggle in America approach akin to Red Dead 2 or GTA 4, with a much more serious and darker tone than GTA 5, and saving all the classic Rockstar comedy to the strangers and freaks side missions. As much as I love GTA 5, I always felt it arguably had the weakest story of any Rockstar game in a while. The story felt unfocused due to the three overlapping protagonists, and there was a real vacuum of genuinely interesting side characters. Bring back Little Jacob. I also hope, as kind of hinted in the trailer, that the female character is the only playable character in this game, considering how well Red Dead 2 told one man's incredible personal story. We'd love to know your thoughts, and if there's any other narrative influences or returning characters you'd love to see. Respect the sea, but also respect all employees in the video games industry who have been ridiculously mistreated in 2023. I think we can agree with that.
On that note about returning characters, somebody pointed out that if Tommy Vercetti were in this, he'd be like 70 or 80 by now, which is terrifying as a thought. But I'd still love to see him.
I'd love to see him, but I'm sure, as Matt will mention now, they're in different universes, so it's probably highly unlikely this will happen. But we can dream. We can definitely dream.
It wouldn't surprise me if the shirt is in there or something like that. But yeah, they are.
We can maybe Trevor will come on holiday to Vice City.
Oh, gosh. Like Trevor needs to stay away.
Florida. He's got a very Florida kind of energy.
He is basically Florida Man, the walking entity, isn't he?
In terms of like tone and story of this, I do think it will fall somewhere in between Red Dead 2 and GTA 5. I think they'll go for a more... I think even that like one very brief like scene of the two characters where they're having that scene on the bed where they're talking about trust, like that is already a more like heartfelt scene than I think any in GTA 5 that we saw. But there's also, if you look at all the clips in this trailer, there's obviously going to be some madness and some weird characters and like Matt, just crazy stuff going on. I do think it'll be kind of a tragic love story, sort of like everyone's already drawn like the sort of Bonnie and Clyde sort of, to an extent, Natural Born Killers, I guess, sort of parallels to this. Like, it's just whether, like, which one of those two is going to betray the other is the question I have, really. But yeah, I don't know what you guys think.
I do think that we had this conversation the other day, Cardi, in that like it does feel that with Red Dead, Rockstar really kind of flexes its dramatic kind of heft, even more than kind of the original Red Dead Redemption. Like, that's not that it was the same as GTA, but I think in comparison to Red Dead 2, there is definitely like a real wish to do prestige style drama in Red Dead 2 that you don't get in the other games. And it wouldn't surprise me if they feel like they still want to go through with that. And I actually think what Tom says here is the idea that the Floridian madness is your side sort of freaks and geeks cast. And then kind of like the actual core of the game is a much more dramatically dark, kind of heavy sort of thing. And I'd really like to see that because I think kind of Arthur's story really demonstrated that there's something... Like Nico's story in GTA 4 has all the right elements of this kind of like coming to America and seeing that the American dream is absolutely not what it's cracked up to be. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't kind of have a huge amount of genuine heft, whereas I think that this is an opportunity to do something that has that within the GTA framework. There will be.
I do think
there will
be
tragedy.
Play as both of those.
Oh, do you?
Both of those characters. If the leaks are anything to go by.
Think the leaks are worth kind of like paying a huge amount. Yeah. Like things change in development. Also, just because there's been footage with that man, you know, Jason, as people have been calling him, as kind of like the player character doesn't necessarily, they might just be using his like character model.
I do think you'll play as both. I feel like the way they frame that last shot of the trailer, so they're both kind of prominent and the way they're both on the Kia, I don't know. To me, I think you're going to play as both of them. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I think a lot of people forget this, and I sometimes do, like, right at the end of GTA 5, you're given a choice, like a three-way choice, I think it is, or it's even four. Like, you basically choose which one of the three stays alive, or you can get all three to stay alive by doing a certain thing as well. Maybe there's a point in this game where you have to choose which one of these characters
betrays each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe you fire a gun in the air and go, as well.
But yeah, it just looks... I know what, we're at least, a year and a half away probably from this? But I just can't wait. Like, no one does it like this. And the sheer amount of views, I don't know what it's on now. It's probably on at least 120 million now in... less than 3 days or so. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, it's one of those games that actually genuinely is a cultural phenomenon, isn't it? Like, we talk a lot about phenomenons within the industry, but they tend to be generally constricted to our little pool of kind of people, whereas this is something that goes way far and beyond just people that are constantly keeping up with games like we are.
If you've ever if you've got a lad down the pub and you'd be like, you should check out Dredge. You're like, that's not
going to
happen.
No.
The mini games to drag up pieces of dirt from the ocean floor.
Exactly. I mean, to that point, you mentioned Tom Petty earlier, Matt. Like, that song went up 37,000% plays on Spotify.
Yep.
And to be it was a fairly, you know, it wasn't a hit Tom Petty single, so it probably didn't have millions and millions of views in the first place.
I made the graphic for that. I was like, I really want to use the album cover or like the single cover, and it wasn't even the hit.
It's a B-side.
I'm like, great choice.
It's a great song. Imagine being Tom Petty, you're like, I've got this great song, it's a B-side.
Just chucking them away, Tom.
Yeah. I mean, we're obviously playing that song at the end of this podcast. There is no other choice this week.
What was the one bit from this trailer that kind of like you took, as obviously it's not a gameplay trailer by any means, but is there anything about it where you were like inspired to, this could be something that's in the full game? Because for me, I think that there's a team at Rockstar that have been just hard at work for years making TikToks, just like in-game TikToks. And I think one of the things, you know how in like GTA 4 introduced the concept of you could just go home and watch TV. And there's maybe 7 or 8 like genuinely quite good TV shows in GTA 4. Yeah. I think you'll be able to just open your phone and basically infinitely scroll and watch loads of amazing TikToks.
Like over the course of narrative events as well, like you'll do something in a story and then suddenly that'll be a thing that people are making TikToks about.
Absolutely.
I want to hear their annoying AI filter voice as well. they're definitely going to have one.
I think mine was, there was one thing, it's a bit more of a boring technical one, but it was just like the sheer density of some of those scenes, like that beach scene and the one outside the hotels on the strip. Like, and I know like a lot of trailers, like, you know, I think famously the original Cyberpunk trailers showed like a city bussing of people.
Yeah.
The end game at launch, fairly sparse city with not a lot of people walking around. Whereas I trust Rockstar fully to like deliver on that vision. Like, just like the diverse like look of everyone looked different, like the amount of different body types.
Yeah.
And, like, they all like, you know, not to be too crude, but like the jiggle physics on everything, like the body, like models in this game just look
ridiculous. To have that beach where there was equal placement for people of all different ethnicities and all different body types, like you've got a guy kind of like down the middle of the beach that is the most ripped guy you've ever seen, but then with kind of like more plus size people towards the front, and none of them felt like they were necessarily supposed to be the main butt of the joke. Like GTA quite frequently will kind of like cast fat people as a bit of a joke. And I like the fact that this is just what the world looks like, isn't it? Like this is
and
how
there
we
was
create
a little chihuahua. So yeah, I'm hoping there's like dogs and stuff walking around. That'd be good, but I don't want to kill them.
My thing was going to be animals too. It just seems as if that's going to be way more of a focus. Like having alligators or crocodiles interchangeable as far as I'm concerned.
We did do the research. There are crocodiles in Florida.
Alligators are more, I think, prevalent, synonymous with the region. But yeah, we'll be talking about this game for years to come. So, but we got our first look and God knows when we'll get another one. But I just can't wait.
Like, I did want to say too, your video about this, the historical, the thing about the blimp too fascinated me. That like, where did that fact come from? Was that like something the two of you just knew? Or
that's what Cardi found.
Wow.
I just did my research.
It's so cool.
I think I definitively actually wrote is a drug, anti-drug like patrol blimp. I think the theories are that it is like, it's never been revealed by the government what it is, but let's just call it an anti-drug smuggling blimp. But yeah, there's this blimp called the Fat Owl. But that I'm not sure if I think it actually may have been decommissioned in the last couple of years. But it, since the 70s, yeah, it's just patrolled the Florida Keys, like this big white blimp. Probably have some Floridians listening who will probably say everything I said there is absolute nonsense.
That'd be a fun thing to email about, Ian, actually. If you're from Florida, what do you think about the portrayal of Florida?
Yeah. There was also one shot which the speedboat's going past the big container ship that is just taken from Michael Mann's Miami Vice, which is very pleasant. So,
that movie's kind of mid.
Revisit it.
Yeah.
That's what I'd offer you.
Is there an extended cut as well? Because I saw it in theaters and I didn't really like it.
It's worth a revisit. Michael Mann's Miami Vice.
I've never seen that. Was it kind of like an updated version of the 80s TV show? Yeah,
it was set in 2003. Yeah. It was Colin Farrell,
Maybe that's your homework, everybody. Yeah.
Not Michael Mann's best, but it's still worth watching.
Yeah.
Still pretty good. Anyway, that's enough GTA for now, but we will return to that topic in the future. Also, last night was the Game Awards is it a Game Awards show? I don't know. It's more of a trailer show.
Actually, Cardi, I'm going to have to cut you off. We don't have any time.
Okay.
Wrap it up, please.
Play the music. They call it an awards show. And do you know what? They've done us, because all we're going to do here is talking about the reveals and trailers. And let's face it, that is what a lot of people are tuning in to watch. Which is almost like, should we have a separate awards show and should we have a separate trailer show? But I know the whole point is, you know, you get people to watch the awards by promising the reveals, right? So it's just a whole cannibalistic show. 3 hours of trailers with a few awards dotted in between, where you give people about, I don't know, 25 seconds to thank thousands of people who helped made a game. I don't know. Who knows? Let's talk about the trailers. Do you know who got more than 20 seconds? Got more like 10 minutes.
Is it his best
mate? Hideo Kojima.
isn't it, if you're good pals with Jeff?
Exactly.
We're being such cats here.
The way I think it's deserved.
Yeah,
the way he introduced him is like some sort of like deity coming down from Earth through a door made of mist. It was just like absurd. Like, it was almost in tears introducing him. I don't have anything against Kojima himself, more just the way he's presented as this sort of demigod of creativity, I think. But he's doing a new game, and he's got Death Stranding 2 on the go, but he's also got another thing going called OD, which I think, like, was it a year or two ago, a thing called Overdose leaked? And I don't know if this is what the OD stands for, but I think there was some sort of paint or thing flying around for something called Overdose.
Do you think the intent with it being two letters and then walking through the PT doors to draw a, like, deliberate parallel between those two things?
Who knows? I mean, they haven't called Death Stranding 2 yet, though. That's just DS2. Mm. He just loves two letters.
Oh, no.
It's
called OD because it's a zero, right? It's D as in death, then the O is before, so it's Death Stranding 0. It's a prequel.
You've solved it.
I'm saying that that's absolutely what it is. You can, like, timestamp this right now. Yep, I've just figured it out.
Well, this one's being made in collaboration with Xbox. So I don't know if this is an Xbox exclusive. I guess it does mean. I don't know if they've actually said officially this is official chat source. That's a big get for Xbox getting Kojima to make a game for him. And Jordan Peele's involved. Neither of them would say in what way he's involved, but they were just like, he's part of this game.
Is it going to be like how Guillermo del Toro was involved in Death Stranding, where they just put his skin into the game?
Yeah, he did the motion capture eventually. I don't think he really did do that.
No, they just scanned him. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. And it wasn't even, it wasn't even his voice. But
I thought that was cool, personally.
Yeah. I've got some quotes here from Kojima that he said on stage. He said, "It is a game, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's at the same time a movie and at the same time a new form of media."
Can someone let him direct a film and just get it out his system?
What is it like? I don't know. I just don't know. It's like the teaser itself, I did find really effective. It had the stars of the game. It had Sophia Lillis, Hunter Schafer, and Udo Kier, who's like a odd German character actor, all being like increasingly weird and saying these weird like lines to the camera. It reminded me of the like Cells Interlink thing from Blade Runner, where they're just kind of quoting these things, talking about animals. I'm not sure what was going on, but it was effective.
The purple dinosaur, apparently.
Yeah, it was creepy. I'll give it that. Like, and he didn't confirm it's a horror game, but if you're the tone of that teaser, and if you're getting Jordan Peele involved, that you'd feel this is sort of a horror game, right? I mean, we have no idea what this is, to be honest. They spent 10 minutes up there and we learned nothing. So who knows?
I guess Death Stranding and to a certain extent Metal Gear has elements of horror to them. You know, they've got the fear factor to a certain degree. So yeah.
I can see it being that, right? Like, it's arguably not been a scarier game than PT, like, if you count that as a game. What else Kojima did say was, "What I can say right now is, it's not just Jordan. I have other creative partners with me on board this project. I can't really say who they are right now, but I tell you, they are legends and they are amazing." Oh, theorize who it, pick one of these legends who is working. It could be anyone. It could be Seal. I could see him working with Seal on a game.
It's a shame that we've already picked the ending music. I'd love Kiss from a Rose at the end.
I reckon he's working with an AI of David Bowie.
Oh, no.
He is absolutely the sort of creator that will commune with a dead spirit via an AI.
I think he actually just wants to meet them, right? Like, an AI doesn't mean that he gets to take a photo with them, right?
That's true.
It'll be around, like, you know, how Death Stranding, he's like obsessed with getting the original Bionic Woman in it as much as possible. It'll just be a random, be like David Hasselhoff. It'll be someone completely just off the wall, but they're legends, apparently. Who knows when we'll see this game or this new form of media. He said it's taking advantage of the like Microsoft cloud technology, so that's the only real like tease we had of what this could be. I don't know, from that teaser it looked quite unsettling, so
I'm looking forward to the fishes that swim independently upstream.
There we go. Another game that was announced, Monster Hunter Wilds, which essentially Monster Hunter World 2, kind of. It's the next big Monster Hunter game, right? I'm not a huge... I played like 20-odd hours of Monster Hunter World, enjoyed it enough. I can never call myself a big Monster Hunter fan, but I know, Matt, you do enjoy some Monster Hunter, is that right?
We both do, don't we?
Do you?
Both Matts.
I am less so Monster Hunter-y. I do... I like the look of this one, mainly because I like the jumping around, but... I don't have a huge back history with Monster Hunter.
I play them all when they come out, and I've got a group of lads that play them like pretty solidly, and they always get way ahead of me. And I'm like, oh well, do I have you come in and do the little missions with me and basically just waste your time? And it really puts me off. And so every time I buy one, and I'm like, all right, this one's going to be the one I'm going to keep up to pace with everybody. Always falls by the wayside, but this time, forget all of that. I really believe it this time. This one's going to be the one.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, I'll probably give it a go when it comes out. It looked very pretty. I liked it. Looked like it had almost like, I don't know, extreme like weather effects going on in this one. Maybe you're battling against the weather as well as these.
I mean, it was the mount thing that got me, like being on that kind of like little griffin style thing that was like bounding from rock to rock. That's the. I know that they had mounts in Monster Hunter Rise, didn't they? They got like, could you ride on the back of your dog?
Little Palamute.
Yeah. So it kind of like looks like the, I guess the HD. Well, not that Monster Hunter Rise isn't HD, but you know what I mean. The kind of like the 4K big graphics boy version of that.
Yeah, I mean it's. All looks great. It's 2025, I think, this one. I think it was, we mentioned before this podcast, like a lot of these games were either 2025 or like the next 3 months, like the in-between, like later next year. We're still, I don't know, there will be things. But
what do you think that's about? Do you think that is just the like expanding scale of game development, or do you think everybody's like, 2024 is a weird number. Let's just have a year off.
I think there will be plenty of stuff towards the end next year. It's just, they'll announce those later. Like, for like this show is right for like there's you want to
make
a big splash. You either shadow drop or you announce something huge, and inherently huge is going to take longer to make. So yeah, that's why we're waiting, I think. And one of those that not technically shadow dropped, but in 4 days there's new DLC coming to God of War Ragnarok. Free DLC, God of War Ragnarok Valhalla. They're just sticking more Viking words on the end of the name.
If you go back and watch that trailer, they really hang on the 2023 of the announcement, or it's just it kind of sticks there for a little while. It's very fun, very teasy. It's quite drag, actually.
This is a, like I said, free DLC for God of War Ragnarok. It serves as an epilogue, so it is recommended that you don't play this if you haven't finished the story of God of War Ragnarok, but you can trigger it just from the start of the game, I believe. You don't have to make any progression in it. It's a roguelike game, so the details here, it says, embark with Kratos to Valhalla on a deeply personal and reflective journey towards a future he never thought possible. In the description of the trailer, it says, master challenges of mind and body on an unraveling adventure that blends the beloved combat from God of War Ragnarok with brand new elements inspired by the roguelite genre. So, PlayStation are doing this recently. So, next month we've got The Last of Us Part 2, remastered, which comes with a new roguelite mode. Is this their new thing now? Like, they're just releasing new roguelite modes for all their games. They like Returnal so much.
Maybe. I guess there's a certain amount of kind of like roguelikes are, I'm not saying that they're developmentally easy, but you use difficulty right to get the most out of a smaller package.
You can reuse all your enemies, your assets. Like, it's a clever way of doing it. And do you know what? I'm of course going to play this because I think God of War Ragnarok's combat is just by itself just incredible to play. But the fact that they've teased that there is extra story content and it does serve as like the end of this journey and maybe a tease for what the future is. Who knows?
It's
4 days away. I don't know. Am I going to play it when it comes out straight away? I don't know. I only got a week more off before Christmas, so maybe I'll wait till then. I'm just glad that it was. I was really worried at one point it was like a full on expansion coming next week and I'd have to review it. And I'm just like, I'm so happy that that isn't the case because I really want to wind down at the end of this year.
Yeah, also, but there is so much in Ragnarok. I don't think an expansion is needed.
No, that's true. I did. I think my prediction last week was that we'd get like the an actual like in between game, like a God of War, like a
the one that we've been
style. Yeah. And I thought I was right for a second, but I wasn't. I was wrong. Matt Perslow, this one's for you. It's always a treat for you when you see that Arcane logo pop up, isn't it?
Especially if it's Arcane Leon as well. You know, kind of like I'm a big fan of that studio.
Exactly. The Dishonored boys and the Deathloop boys are back and they're making a Blade game.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I mean, no one expected this. I mean, the idea of Arcane doing a licensed game sort of makes my skin crawl because they're such a visionary studio with their own kind of ideas that why would you want to have them tied up? But when you see the excitement that's on Dinger's face and sort of like his ability, you know, that he chats about like he's got dual heritage himself.
He did
like
a little
Blade.
Spin kick.
He did do a little spin kick on stage. Like he's an excited guy and sort of seeing his tweets about it as well. It's definitely a game that I think they pitched and, you know, he's got a lot of passion for Blade as a character. And the main thing, the two main things that got me is that in the trailer has the Arcane art style. You know, it's not necessarily as fully stylistic as Dishonored, but it's got that kind of, you know, the Sebastian Mitten art style to it.
Yeah.
And then also Dinger tweeted that it's an immersive sim. Like, it might be, they've had to go third person. I say had to. I imagine that that's probably a stipulation that comes with Marvel, because it's like, well, you want all of the costumes, right, that come across, mm-hmm. you know, how, what is it, 50 years of Blade now that is this yeah. year? So you probably
you know
want...
What? It doesn't look a day over 25.
Well, exactly, yeah. The benefits of being a half vampire. But the, you know, third person doesn't necessarily sort of sing immersive sim, but when you think of what Dishonored is, it's a game where kind of like you lurk on rooftops and skulk around in alleyways, kind mm-hmm. of like assessing how to take down kind of powerful enemies and stuff like that. There's a lot that I can see that sings with the what Blade would do, and Corvo and Emily are supernatural characters, so it was Colt in Deathloop. There's a lot of what I see in their games that I'm like, okay, Blade as a character, this supernatural vampire hunter, has a lot that gels. And, you know, I think one of the things that I found interesting over the last few years is that the Marvel games are more interesting than the MCU as a whole. Mm-hmm. We've just had a really good Spider-Man game. I loved last year's Midnight Suns, like, love that so much. I think that this is a real good sign for Marvel's games set up, and I'm very excited to see a lot more of, you know, all we've seen essentially is a Parisian barbershop in which Blade exactly. puts a very yeah, cool literally. Coat on.
Literally, the only details we have, the synopsis of this is, Blade will take players to a quarantine section of Paris in the middle of a supernatural emergency. Vampires have emerged, terrorizing the city of lights and forcing Parisians to shelter in their homes at night to wait for the sunrise. So they're kind of doing the Batman Arkham excuse, right? Mm-hmm. Of like, everyone has to go inside. There's vampires everywhere.
I don't know, though. I think they'd do a, like, day and night cycle-y thing, right? Like, that, it says to me, like, why would you do... Or, actually, I guess that would be really boring if you had a day and night cycle in a vampire game. It'd be nothing knows? To do during the day.
I mean, the one question I have is, do you think it'll be open world, or do you think it'll be like Deathloop, like pockets, or like Dishonored so much, levels?
They're so much better at level design, aren't they, rather than, well, I mean, yeah. I don't know what they're like at world design, because I've not seen them build an open world, but all of their games historically have been level focused, right? There's only... Yeah.
I mean, Deathloop's like, they're kind of like hubs, right?
Yeah,
they're like,
yeah. yeah. Obviously, kind of like Redfall is an open world, but obviously that is built by the Arkane.
I mean, Arkane have
Austin.
A great record with the vampires at the moment, don't they? So,
well, I must say, like, it is.
They've
I guess
what not to do.
Yeah, the Blade thing is initially quite surprising, because it's like, oh, you're gonna put another vampire game out with the Arkane logo on it. Yeah. Which there's a potential element there that might not be, that might have a little bit of backlash for them, but ultimately these games were almost certainly in development simultaneously, right? Exactly. And they wouldn't have known the reception to Redfall.
But, oh, you guys are the vampire studio. Nice.
But it's kind of what people have said for years, right? Arkane, one of the most talented studios in the world, like, make consistently, Redfall aside, consistently critically adored games, but they don't really sell that well.
Stick a Marvel,
you slap Marvel's
license,
Blade
yeah.
on it, yeah. Exactly.
This
That's
is
going to sell.
This is the one that could be. And particularly, you know, there was no, surprisingly, a lack of Xbox branding on this, but presumably it's going to be an Xbox exclusive you with
assume.
On yeah. Game Pass. It might be one of those that, like, you play that and you're like, I love this. Where do I mm-hmm. go from here? And then suddenly there's, you know, Dishonored is the next one along, right? And it might
exactly.
create, like, a bit of a back catalog boom for them.
Yeah. I think that was probably my most exciting reveal from the show, I think, that one.
It's interesting as well, like, thinking about the timing of this is strange given the, like, production of the Mahershala Ali mm-hmm. movie. Like, mm-hmm. do you think that they probably thought that would be further on along in production?
Probably thought it might even be out.
Yeah, possibly, yeah. And you'd have, like, the, oh, you've seen Blade this year, or you're yeah. seeing Blade in the next 3 months, then yeah. get ready for the game.
You've seen Blade on the big screen.
Now play about a slightly smaller one. Speaking of the big screen, Jurassic Park Survival.
Oh, this looks good. I think this could be really good.
Yeah, my instant reactions were, and I still haven't seen anything that kind of differs from this too much. It kind of looks a bit like Alien Isolation,
that
but Jurassic Park.
Exactly what I got from it. To the point where, you know, that there's only about 20 seconds of actual gameplay in this trailer, mm-hmm. if that. Which I think does make it look a lot like Alien Isolation, but Jurassic Park. But I was getting that vibe from the general like CG cinematic at the start, and was like, if this turns out to be an Alien Isolation game, but you're hiding from dinosaurs instead, I will be very happy.
That's pretty sick. Good pitch.
And then what they did was they showed a first-person survival horror game where it seems like you have to hide from dinosaurs.
And you just say, clever girl, every 10 minutes.
there's going to be an achievement that pops up that inevitably.
Exactly. The details we've got is it's an action-adventure with both stealth and action gameplay. It takes place on Isla Nublar, just one day after the events of the original Jurassic Park, with protagonist Dr. Maya Joshi stranded on the island alone. It's a good premise. Mm-hmm. You know, all that's gone down and then you're left to deal with everything that's like let loose in that park. It's Jurassic Park. Not that, you know, Jurassic Park games don't have a great track record.
No. Also, this was announced not this
like 20 years ago.
Like, and obviously this is not the same development, you know, it's picking up that title, I guess, and it's no clear like if it is even roughly the similar to the original design document, but it is quite cool that kind of like, you know, games from that era, like imagine if this, like they also announced like a Trespasser, like another Jurassic Park Trespasser, but kind of having that, you know, jumping back to when those games were kind of like big-ish.
Exactly. This is made, it's, we should say, it's not being made by Creative Assembly. It's not made by the Alien Isolation team. It's being made by Saber Interactive, who are doing Space Marine 2, which has been delayed till next September. But I imagine you're still very excited for that one. Mm-hmm. So maybe Saber are becoming a little studio of yours to look out for.
Maybe.
Maybe. Get a tattoo of Saber Interactive on your back. Light No Fire. Is the new game from Hello Games. Sean Murray walks out and goes, this is maybe more ambitious than No Man's Sky. And everyone simultaneously just goes, oh no. This is an open world game in the most literal sense of the word even. You're playing on a full size planet Earth, essentially. And everyone's in there. I'm not quite sure what, they haven't really said what you're doing, but you're working together. But it's a procedural open planet. And just from the looks of it, it looked very No Man's Sky, just like the art design of it, the way the people move. You can ride dragons. There's literal mountains, you know, the relative size of actual mountains. Like, I think he said taller than Everest. I'm not quite sure what you're doing in this game, but I have to say I was impressed by what I saw.
I mean, my initial thought on it was it looks a lot like what No Man's Sky looks like today, but with a fantasy vibe rather than thinking, like, you know, kind of like No Man's Sky eventually got updated to have all of these mounts and these kind of collaborative kind of tools and all of that sort of stuff, which it seems like this has from the start, right? Rather than being kind of the slightly more barren design. And I'd say I like this art style a touch more than I do the original No Man's Sky design.
I think I do. Obviously, you know, it's fair to have a little bit of trepidation going into this because No Man's Sky did launch and it wasn't what people expected. I will say now, many years later, it is, by all accounts, a very good game. And I do jump in every now and then just to check it out. And it's definitely much more, probably more than what they promised originally, to be fair. They've added so much to that game that I feel like they'll have learned their lesson and not release it if it's not what people are expecting at this point. But yeah, like I said, the only details we have are it's a game about adventure, building, survival and exploration together, set on a fantasy planet the size of Earth. It brings a depth of role-playing game to the freedom of a survival sandbox. I mean, it's ambitious, you can't deny that, but I'm glad there's people out there trying things, right?
Yeah. So, the other thing is that, you know, that No Man's Sky vibe also extends to the way that they have their logo treatment in the kind of like it comes, the camera pans back, like zooms backwards out of a red kind of light. It very much does feel like this is the successor to No Man's Sky, but we're in fantasy world now rather than sci-fi.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. We got a new look, another look at Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I feel like we've seen a lot of trailers of this game. It's only, it's out in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. I'll let you take this again. Take this one on, Matt, because you're the Final Fantasy boy here. Anything in this trailer that you particularly got excited about?
I've only had the opportunity to watch all of the trailers for this once. I don't have all the time in the world, and there was a lot going on in that trailer. But my main thing was it confirms that Cid's definitely in the game, which I always thought he would do because of the time period it's set in. But Cid is my favourite character in Final Fantasy VII. So I'm very pleased that he's there, and I hope that they keep him as grumpy and sweary as he was in the original.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about the song? Is that a song from the original, or is that just a new song?
No, there's no like songs with lyrics in the original. You don't get a song with lyrics until Final Fantasy VIII, which is Eyes on Me, which is very lovely. Final Fantasy does have this kind of thing now where they like to have kind of like big musical numbers. I'm less fussed about that. I didn't particularly like the big sort of musical theme they had for Seven Remake, and I'm not a massive fan of kind of like the, they seem to have been doing this since Final Fantasy 13, I think, where they had Leona Lewis do the big music for it.
That's a blast from the past.
It's something that they can indulge in that I don't massively care about. Give me the original score for Seven, sort of like all brassed up, and that's good enough for me.
I mean, yeah. Look forward to this game. Not much more to say, really. Only a couple months away. Looking forward to playing it. Lost Records, Bloom and Rage. New game from Don't Nod. Very much in the Life is Strange mold.
That this sounds one. Like... The title sounds like something that a lad down the pub would say instead of swearing.
What, Bloom and Rage? Ugh. Look like you play as kind of... It almost had a little bit of... God, what's the TV show that I've completed? Yellow Jackets. A little bit of that vibe going on, like a group of women recounting like a tragic event that happened 20 years in the past. Obviously some weird supernatural stuff going on. But the bit that I liked was just that they're all in a band and the music sounded pretty good. So I'm not actually a huge Life is Strange fan at all, really, but this one, I don't know, this caught my attention. I'm into this. It looked, I think we said earlier, Matt, it just stood out because like it seemed like 70% of the game show this showcase were kind of like dark sci-fi games, and this was just like a nice, bright, colourful game.
Yeah, I do like Life is Strange, so I'm always kind of pulled to that. But my main thing, it got a little bit of Paper Girls, which is a comic book that I really like, and it got a little bit of that vibe to it, which is again is kind of like a group of kind of teenage girls that get into weird sci-fi mystery shit and then have their older selves are also part of the story as well. So because it got a little bit of that to it, and I just love anything where people look down a deep well and a magenta light kind of shines up, anything that's got that kind of cool lighting effect to it, I think
it's another choice-based adventure, so it's going to be similar gameplay, I think, to something like Life is Strange.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Looks interesting. Sega turned up and said, remember all these games we used to make? Well, we're making new ones. So we saw little clips of a new Jet Set Radio, Shinobi, Golden Axe, Streets of Rage, and Crazy Taxi. The one that stood out for me was Crazy Taxi. I'll play Crazy Taxi. I'll drive around and pick up people really quickly.
It is really funny in retrospect. Everybody was like, oh, it's going to be a new Virtua Fighter. And it's like, it's not that, but it's literally everything else.
Exactly. It's every other game they've made. And Jet Set Radio looked good. I've never actually got into Jet Set Radio, but I've always liked the idea of it. So then maybe this will finally be my time to get into Jet Set Radio. But yeah, we don't really know much more than that about those. So I guess we'll move on to Big Walk. Did anyone watch the trailer for Big Walk?
I did.
The new game from Untitled Goose Game developers. Yeah, it just looks mad. I just love games that are just mad.
it's that thing where it's got a very realistic art style for the world. And I was like, this is not what I expect from the Goose Game people. And then the character models turn up, which are basically just round bits stacked on top of each other to create weird little duck people.
That's just like spherical. I've got the description here, which is Big Walk is a cooperative online multiplayer game where players connect with their friends to go on a walk together through the Australian bushland, particularly inspired by Wilson's Promontory National Park. On that walk, they'll explore, solve puzzles, and be tested as a group on their ability to communicate. To help facilitate this, Big Walk includes a proximity voice chat system. Not many games use proximity voice chat. There was a little phase, I think, about like 5 or 6 years ago where games like tried using it, but it's a good tool. People should try using it more. I don't know. I'll walk through a weird spherical bushland with you, Matt, if you want.
The thing I really liked is the trailer opened up with a game for you and your friends. I thought that was lovely.
There we go. Like we're saying, so many games are just like either dark sci-fi, dark fantasy. I like those games, but sometimes you just want a nice break, and something like this, you can just smile at. You know what I mean? Have a nice smile. In the pre-show, we got some bangers as well, which they just buried. I thought there was as many good reveals in the pre-show, including a remake of Brothers, which is a game I don't think necessarily needs a remake because it's almost perfect, I think.
Quite honestly, I watched that trailer and I know that I haven't played it for a long time, but I couldn't really tell what the difference was. I just don't think Brothers needed a 4K like remake. It looked pretty good.
It had a kind of pacing problem at the beginning. Like, I think it should have started. If I remember right, it doesn't really start when it starts. And I also think the game's very short too. So it's a strange complaint to make.
I would imagine though that kind of like the change in it is purely the graphics that have just made it look. And it got a nice little stylized almost. They were like little toys, weren't they? It was the kind of vibe that I got from the original. And I just don't think that necessarily benefits from being remade with modern graphics.
No. If you haven't played Brothers, it's the first game from Joseph Farris, who obviously went on to make It Takes Two.
It's
a really great game.
By some, I mean me. I might say it's his best work.
I think it's his best game, probably. It's one of my favourite games of that year, and has one of the most heartbreaking button presses in any game. So enjoy that if you've not played Brothers before. So that's coming in, I think, early next year. But also revealed was Rise of the Golden Idol. Didn't see this coming. A new, like, proper 3D, like, console version. Not version, like, sequel to the Case of the Golden Idol. We didn't really get many more details, I think, on this. But the Case of the Golden Idol was one of the best puzzle games of last year, if you didn't play it. Yeah, excited to get more of that. Do either of you play Case of the Golden Idol?
Nah, it's not still on my list.
Get around to it. It's banging.
It's installed. I have been meaning to play it for a while because it definitely is my sort of. It's got a little bit of the point and click about it, hasn't it?
Definitely, it's got a bit of that monk. It's got a bit of that silly humour, but also like great. It's a really just one of the best detective games I think I've played. Like you feel so smart working that game out. I really do love it. So yeah, Case of the Golden Idol, definitely play that. And yeah, it's sequel, Rise of the Golden Idol. Get excited for that. Another sequel, Pony Island 2 Panda Circus from Daniel Mullins. Inscription, one of my favourite games of a couple of years ago.
I would say it is my favourite game of that year.
It is my favourite game of that, yeah. In fact, maybe I misspoke. But this looks suitably just bonkers, is what you'd kind of expect from Daniel Mullins. You watch that trailer and you go, I have no idea what I'm going to be doing in this game, but I'll play it.
Fantastic appearance by Sung Won Cho as well. Incredible casting.
I don't know how you analyze this trailer apart from you. I think you either watch it and you go, not for me, or you watch it and you go, yes.
Let's have some of that.
I'll play that. Do you know what? I haven't actually played the original Pony Island. I need to go back.
It's worth it. All of the stuff that you liked from Inscription, it was like, it was groundbreaking then. And then Inscription is more of a like, you know, encapsulation and polished version.
Yeah. I will go back and check that out. And lastly, the last reveal we're going to talk about today is Thrasher, this kind of spiritual sequel to Thumper. If you've never played Thumper, especially in VR, that is maybe my favorite VR game, Thumper, because when you're in that, it is the most oppressively just great but awful place to be. I just love the note here from this is the description of Thumper. From the artist and composer behind the cult hit Thumper comes Thrasher, a mind-melting cosmic racer, an essential audio-visual experience. Use fast-paced gestural controls to evolve your space eel from worm to mega beast in a breakneck race for survival that begins at the dawn of time. What more do you want? Exactly. Nothing. The Thumper soundtrack is just so good. I don't know if either of you are Thumper boys, but no. I'm a big Thumper boy.
I've not played it, I'm afraid.
Oh, get some headphones on, whack it up. And if you've got a VR headset, get it on that.
I do have a VR
headset. Get lost in that. It is just absorbing. It is so good. And I don't know if Thrasher's going to be VR at all, but I'll play the hell out of it.
I've been thinking about getting a VR headset because Umurangi Generation just got announced that there's a VR mode or a VR version coming out.
What is that, Matt?
You never play Umurangi Generation?
I have not.
Oh my God, it's fantastic. It's a it's a photography game about the end of the world. And it's just about people that are kind of living their lives, like just, you know, hanging out while all this bad shit is happening. It is totally up your street, mate.
I will have a look at that. Let's know what you're excited for. I would actually, do you know what? I'll be honest with you. I think from next week onwards, we're doing like our end of the year awards episode. So I don't know if I'll have much more time for feedback the rest of this year. But we'll be doing our alternative film awards, alternative game awards, alternative TV awards. Let us know some of your alternative awards you want to give out. I don't want to hear what your best game or your best film of the year is. I want to hear, I don't know, the best sandwich you saw in a TV show this year, something like that. Let us know, and maybe we'll read some out on our award shows, which we haven't recorded yet and we have to find time to do, but there we go. IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com is where you can do that.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world. That ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
And we have got three pieces of feedback this week. Matt J, you've got the first one.
I do, don't I? G'day, IDN UK crew. Did I say IDN?
That's not I don't know. We're IGN, though.
I'm not going to take another take of that. You can just have that, we're listeners. Going. I just wanted to provide some feedback on last week's episode. Firstly, move over Crocodile Dundee, Neighbours and Foster's, which Aussies don't actually drink. Our new rightful number one export is Bluey. Whether it's a nostalgia hit with a flashback to being a kid in the 80s, a trip to Bunnings, which is the hardware chain, which I think I've only heard of because of... Do you know about Democracy Sausages, by the way, the two of you?
Please
I'm not
tell.
Asking you, this isn't part of the email, because voting voting in elections is mandatory in Australia. The police will come round your house and make you go vote, but Bunnings is where you do it, I think. And so they put sausages outside, like, so after you voted, you go and eat a sausage.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyway. You learn something every day.
Or unless I've completely made this up, maybe that's one of those jokes that Australians tell you, like bears.
We're going to get so many emails next week out. What nonsense.
Yeah. Anyway, or a story about infertility. Each episode has something that hits the emotions or laughs for adults. Cardi, I highly recommend you watch a few episodes. Maybe start with Cricket, which was recently voted the best episode.
I do like some cricket.
Now, on to strange foods. Our honeymoon, my wife and I stayed in an onsen in Japan out in the middle of nowhere. Lovely. At dinner one night, they served up some sashimi, and we had to inform them we didn't eat fish. Their reply was, "It's okay, it's chicken." With fear of food poisoning, we ate it, and it was actually delicious. I guess if there's one person I would trust to serve up raw chicken, be a Japanese chef. On another trip to Japan, we were out to dinner with our boss and served up an appetizer of a small white mixture in a bowl that looked extremely suspicious. After a game of charades with our boss, who didn't speak English, our concerns were validated, as it turned out to be whale sperm. Needless to say, we passed on that one. Keep up the good work and respect the ocean and all things in it, including whale sperm. That wasn't part of the email, that's me. Robbo in Torquay, Australia.
I think I probably would have passed on that. I don't see, is there much need to eat that?
I mean, maybe it's delicious. This is ridiculous.
Are we saying it's not a mistranslation there? Maybe it is sperm whale?
Maybe, yeah.
And not whale sperm?
I had whale when I was out there.
Maybe this is a mistranslation that it was sperm whale.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whale's all right. It's not worth killing them for.
Why would you eat the whale sperm? Matt Perslow, tell me, why would you eat whale sperm?
I'm just... You know, I don't want to cast negative like elements on other cultures, so I won't think of it, but I just don't like the idea of harvesting whale sperm.
No,
who's farming that?
That's a fair concern. That's a fair concern to have, I think, to be fair. I said last week I'd check out Bluey. I still haven't. I've been very busy, okay, and I've been watching all the Jackass films back to back, so maybe I'll watch some Bluey this week.
Are you try and fit any Wild Boys in there as well?
Maybe I'll go through all of them. Wild Boys, Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, Viva La Bam.
Just pretend I'm in 2001 again. God, simpler times. I've got a short and sweet email here from David Meads, who says, "Hey guys, first time, long time, and all that. A new crisp has hit the market that just blows most of the others out of the water. It's the McCoy's Chip Shop Curry Sauce. They have a wonderful flavour that lingers on the tongue, and then a nice afterburn that leaves you tingling for quite a while after a... It's a must try. Respect the sea, respect the grave diggers, and duck hunt." This is good. We always like to be alerted of new crisp products on the market. I did a little bit of research. It turns out not just the new Chips Up Curry Sauce flavour of McCoy's, which does look quite intriguing, but also they have a new Bangin' Barbecue flavour, which I'd also like to test out, I think.
What makes it bangin'?
That's what it just says. It just says bangin'. Who knows? Anyone tried these?
Not yet. Let's do it in the actually, we should keep a list of everything we get recommended. We should do it in the final episode of the year.
Yeah, maybe next week. Foods. I think next week we might all be in the office for our Christmas party, so I might have a little look around Sainsbury's or Tesco, see if they've got a chip shop or a Bangin' Barbecue. Got to try these new McCoys out. I'm normally I used to be a flame grilled steak McCoys man, but now I tend to go for the salt and vinegar. I don't know how you feel about that. Matt, you looked worried there almost.
No, I don't mind the salt. They're very punchy, aren't they? I must say.
Oh yeah, I love a punchy.
I don't
vinegar.
Mind McCoy's, but they are very, very thick to the point where like your teeth is just full of mashed potato by the end of it.
The thicker the better. That's what I say.
Sure, if that's your vibe.
Yeah, there we go. Got any opinions on McCoy's? Other Matt,
I love a salt vinegar McCoy's, mate.
There we go.
Yeah.
Good. This is the sort of chat we need to be having more often. I've got one more email. Other Matt.
Okay. This one is from Kai McKenzie, who says, "Hi, IGN UK team. Me and my partner started the Squid Game game show on a whim, and we were in the same boat as you guys seem to be, in that we thought that everyone who had applied was stupid and missed the message of the original show.
Yep.
However, we have been
weren't going to get killed, Kai.
No. Yeah, but you know.
However, we've been pulled back, watching a couple of episodes each time that we're able to spend some time together. And while there are some people on the show who we've grown to like, specifically the mother-son duo and the Gambu gang, I think we specifically watch it in the hopes that the people we actively dislike are put through the ringer. Yep. It made me want to ask, are there any shows, fictional or reality, that you guys have watched mainly to see characters that you don't like fail? My picks would be the most recent season of Married at First Sight Australia and Love is Blind Season 1. For a fictional series, it would be Power and Normal People, in brackets. Ooh. I know Normal People is quite highly rated by the general public, but the combination of poor decision-making and lack of communication by Marianne and Connell frustrated me like crazy. Respect the sea, Kai McKenzie."
I absolutely adore normal people. I can't say I ever felt bad for about those characters. I think they're suffering from emotional trauma and probably mental health issues. But yeah.
It's a very good reflection of the human condition, which is traumatic for the best of us.
Yeah. But are there shows? I think it is mainly like real life, like game shows or quiz shows where I want people to fail. Like, I don't know if you've recently, and this is going to show you how my kind of 5 p.m. onwards go most weekdays when I'm kind of working still, but there's like TV on in the background. So they've recently rebooted Deal or No Deal with a podcast favourite Stephen Mulhern.
I visited my parents the other week and yes, learnt that it was real at that point.
He's a poor host. Like, don't get me wrong, not a fan of Noel Edmonds, but at least he brought an air of like mystery.
He's got some rares, honestly.
To it. Yeah, he could like kind of, you always thought, oh, maybe something evil is going to happen here. Whereas Stephen Mulhern, it's all just a bit like, you're trying too hard here, mate. But Deal or No Deal is a show where I consistently find myself wanting everyone to just get 1p because I think it's the way they all like, these people have known each other for like hours and they're all like, oh, we're just all a big family already. It's like, no, you're not. You don't know these people. And the people that are like, the best moments are when someone picks someone, they're like, I just know it's a blue. I know it's 10p for you. I know it is. And they open it, it's like 100 grand. And you're like, you didn't know anything. They stretch this 10-minute show into an hour. This is me going on a rant about Deal or No Deal. Stretch out into a full hour. And they're like, oh, what are your tactics? There are no tactics. You're opening random boxes with numbers in. Like, I would just go on that show and just say, I'm going to keep this box. Let's open them all. And I'll just have whatever's in here.
Doesn't it take like hours to play? Like in the actual studio, it's an hours and hours long process.
It's ridiculous. You're opening 20 boxes. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I do that on Christmas Day in a half hour.
So yeah, there's my big rant about Deal or No Deal and how I want everyone who's on it to fail. But yeah.
It is weird that like, just scientifically, nothing is happening. There's genuinely no drama that
you're literally just open boxes and then you'll be offered an amount which is probably not enough and you'll go, now carry on, cheers.
Yeah, I guess that's it. The like prisoner's dilemma of like, oh, how do I stop now or do I keep going, I guess is the only thing.
I get, yeah, like that, there is a bit of intrigue to that, but it's, yeah, the people that come in with like, I've got tactics, it's like, what tactics? They're random numbers. You're picking numbers and like, oh God. But yeah, Deal or No Deal, that's when it gets me. Do you hate anyone on television? Like, I hate anyone on Deal or No Deal.
Not with this newfound burning hate that you have for people opening shoeboxes. So much. No.
Another one is The Chase. Are you familiar with The Chase?
I am familiar with The Chase.
It's a good show. I enjoy The Chase. I think it's a very good quiz show. But the people that annoy me are the people that are on the panel. And if you don't know how The Chase works, you answer some questions and then you can take on these like really smart quiz people at quizzes, basically. And you're offered either a medium amount, a small amount, or a high amount of money to go for. But if you go for the high amount, you have to basically, they have one more question head start on you. So it's harder to get the higher amount. It's the people that are on your team that go, oh, you should go for the higher amount. Definitely go for the higher amount. And then they get to their turn and they take the lower amount. And you're like, you're just unbelievable. But yeah, anyway, I basically hate the general British public on quiz shows is what I've discovered. And people who think there's any sort of tactics to picking numbers. And there we go. This podcast is taking a turn, isn't it?
Do you ever, like, on a game show as well, there's a question about games or whatever, and anybody that inevitably answers it is totally blank-faced about it. Yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, it could have been me in that position.
And they're often quite simple ones. It shows you how...
What colour is Pac-Man? Oh, I don't know about this one.
I still think, in my opinion, King of the British Quiz Shows is Pointless. If I was to go on one, I'd pick Pointless, I think, to go on. It's just kind of relaxed, not a lot of time pressure. And I know some
obscure
stuff.
You can get very
stuff.
Angry with the other people that are on it.
Exactly. But yeah, anyway, what makes you really angry? IGN, let's go feedback at IGN.
That's a new segment that we're going to do on the show. There's not enough anger in games criticism. So yeah, we're going to really
Should I write a feature?
Up.
Do you think Al the one that a feature for the site on why a Deal or No Deal is a flawed anyway, I'm so sorry if you listen to this and you're on Deal or No Deal in that few weeks, but I probably will root for you to get 10p.
Yeah, if you've been on Deal or No Deal, and you were in the box situation, were you like, email in, what was it like?
And Mulhern's worse than Edmund's. Like, the way they talk to the banker, like, they're a real, like, character who's like, oh, he's being mean today. It's like, no, he's not. It's just a producer in a room going on a calculator working out how much it should be.
I love doing this, by the way. You know, I know all of the announcements that have happened, but can we have Stephen Mulhern as the show art this week?
We've probably talked about Deal or No Deal longer than we did any game at the Game Awards now. When I say we, I mean I. anyway... God, another good episode.
Here's Tom Petty. See you next week.
Oh, God. Love is a long road, isn't it? She tried to make my world the way she thought it should be. Yeah, we were desperate then to have each other in a home. But love is a long, long road. Yeah, love is a long, long road.
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.